A newly released poll of likely Washington voters indicates that the race between Democrat Jay Inslee and Republican Rob McKenna is virtually tied, with Inslee slightly ahead. The Washington poll suggests that support's building for marijuana legalization in charter schools, while support for same-sex marriage has remained steady. But past elections have shown us that polls can only predict so much. Nothing is certain until all the ballots are counted. Nate Silver is the statistician and New York Times polling whiz, known for his accurate forecasts of the 2008 presidential election. 4 years ago, Silver called the correct outcome in 49 out of 50 states and picked the winner in every Senate race. But he got his start in baseball, using statistics to project how well players would perform over the season. Nate Silver has written a new book about the benefits and limits of data-driven analysis. It's called The Signal and the Noise, Why So Many Predictions Fail, But Some Don't. He spoke with KUOW's Marcy Silman.
You start off talking about the difference between that word prediction and the word forecast. And I wanted you to talk a little bit about distinctions that you make between those two.
So when these terms originally entered the English language, they actually meant two different things. Now they're used interchangeably, whereas prediction meant prognostication, where you're kind of casting animal entrails about or superstitious kind of stuff, right? Whereas forecasting meant planning under conditions of uncertainty, more like the way we now use the term foresight. And so what I see is doing forecasting, as weather forecasters might, where you acknowledge that we can't always be perfect when we try and predict the future, but we can put some pretty good probability bounds around things and make people better prepared for what might come next.
I'm not sure if you use the word soothsayer, but I was thinking about that, you know, people used to throw bones, and I'm sure that the model that you have is a little more accurate than the bones, but maybe it's not. I don't know. I wasn't living in that time. But it got me to thinking about why we as humans crave knowing the outcome of something before it happens.
You know, I think it's partly about control. If you perceive yourself as being able to predict things, then you seem to have control over it. You know, and to some extent, that's right. If you go back to this idea I said before about forecasting means planning and decision making, a good forecast should allow you to deal with different contingencies as they might occur. But our desire for perfect control over our lives is maybe part of what leads us to make overly definitive and overly certain predictions about things when it's not really dictated by the reality.
You know, it's interesting. You were kind of thrown into this world of, I don't think you think of yourself as a political journalist, but just with your affiliation with the New York Times 4 years ago, you were on your own. Now you're under the umbrella of the Gray Lady. And I wonder, you know, from your vantage point, you come from the outside. You do not approach this with a journalistic background originally. What you make of all this prognostication that's going on around you as you pursue your work?
Well, I think it's good to have some distance, I think, from the political culture. And I came in as someone who was frustrated at seeing really the way politics was covered by the media, on TV in particular, where there was a lot of spin being recycled. There were a lot of theories that weren't tested based on the polls or other objective evidence. There was a lot of cherry-picking of which data people looked at, a lot of obsession with themes like hot-button topics like race instead of coverage, say, of the economy. So that was frustrating, and I had seen in baseball how there had been kind of a statistical revolution, so to speak, but politics was still stuck, I think, in the Stone Ages in a lot of ways.
Did you take the model that you adopted for baseball prospectus and just shift it over to politics, or did you have to do some tweaking? Because it's one thing to look at an athlete that somebody might draft or hire for their team, as opposed to, you know, whether Mitt Romney or Barack Obama will be a great leader or be able to save the economy or et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, there's no one magic model or computer program that solves everything. Instead, you have to think about the problem and have some knowledge about the problem. But it also helps to have a fluency in forecasting, or really just applied statistics in different disciplines. And the analogy I give is it's kind of like if you learn Spanish, that doesn't mean you can go to Lisbon and speak Portuguese, but it probably means it's a lot easier to learn Portuguese. There are more cognates and so forth. So, but there is one challenge in presidential election forecasting in particular, which is that you only get one trial every 4 years, as opposed to baseball. There are something like 700 or 800 players that will play, have at least one at bat or pitch one inning in the major leagues in a given year, and that happens every year. So mm-hmm. in politics, if you're, first of all, you have less data, less historical data to learn from, and second of all, if you're wrong, you're going to be stuck with it for a long time. So we have Obama favored, but certainly not by an overwhelming enough certainty that I won't be nervous on Tuesday night.
Well, in fact, I think what you wrote was that he was up by a field goal with 3 minutes left to play.
Yeah, it's as though Obama had, our basketball team, had a three-point lead with 2 minutes left to play in the game. And if you watch the NCAA tournament in particular, you know that anything can happen from that point onward. But you'd much rather be the team with the three-point lead than the one behind by 3 points.
But you also write that as we get closer to an election day, the polls are more and more accurate.
Yeah, so we're running out of time now for the polls to reverse before election day. In fact, of the polls that were out on Friday, there were 15 polls of swing states, and literally none of them had Romney ahead. So you might see the polls coming into more alignment with one another and telling a more consistent story. You might see Obama gaining half a point or so. I think people maybe approved of how we handled the storm here out east. And you see the days ticking off Romney's clock. So we're now at the point, and this is where I do feel comfortable with a high degree of certainty saying, that on Tuesday morning, we'll wake up with the polls suggesting that Obama will win the Electoral College. I don't think you're going to see a last-minute shift back toward Romney in 48 hours when, frankly, the data over the last couple of days has been worse for him, if anything. But the polls can be wrong. But it's now a case where the polls point toward a winner, and although people on kind of pundit TV shows might not want to state the obvious, the polls suggest that Obama's likely to win the Electoral College. And it's a question of just how wrong the polls might be. It wouldn't take that much of an error for Romney to win instead.
What's fascinating to me is that you are basing things on numbers and data and talking about ranges of probabilities, and yet you seem to have really hit of the punditocracy, if that is a word. I mean, people who make their living in perhaps not statistical-based speculation are freaking out. I think that's fair to say. And yet you're coming at this from a science of a sort. It's a black-and-white numbers game.
Yeah, I think someone else wrote this, so I should give credit. But I think we're seeing a clash between journalistic objectivity, quote-unquote, and scientific objectivity. And in science, objectivity requires a belief in truth. I think that intersects in an odd way in politics, where in some ways the art of politics is all about manipulating the truth or concealing the truth. And I think that seeps in some of the coverage. I think less so here at the New York Times than at other outlets whom I won't whom I won't name. But news coverage about who won the day, for example, or who won the press conference, right? And I mean, that's meant as entertainment for political junkies that are riding the Excel train from Washington, D.C. to New York. It's not really in touch at all with what real people in America care about, and doesn't provide any insight to anyone looking to make better political decisions.
Statistician and founder of the New York Times 538 blog, Nate Silver, spoke with KUOW's Marcy Silman.